Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. It is time now, once again, to dive deep into the mind of Chad, a place where pop culture, pro wrestling, video games, comic books, life, and anything else form into harebrained theories, half-baked thoughts, and eyebrow-raising recommendations. You have now opened the Chatterbox. Greetings and salutations, and I apologize for the long layoff, but we are back here in my mind. I'm, of course, Chad, and just quick update, I'm officially married now, so living that married life, it's awesome, actually. Super happy. Allison is love of my life, so just quick shout out to her. Thank you for saying yes. I promise I will make our lives absolutely amazing, and I will do everything I can until that goal is fulfilled, and I love you so much. But all right, it is now time for us to crack right into segment number one.
What caught Chad's eye this week in news, video games, pro wrestling, science, or anything else? Well, let's find out. It's time to pop off a few rounds and head into Chatter Shots.
Our first story this week that I found super crazy in the news is from sciencefocus.com. And it is a Australian scientist in new study suggests humans are evolving at a faster rate than any point over these past 250 years. Once again, I think it was a couple weeks ago at this point that I talked about the evolution of people being able to drink milk. So once again, I have to talk about evolution because it's back in the news. So this is from Flinders University in Adelaide, Australia. And it was Dr. Tegan Lucas, professor, and I apologize for these names because I'm not the best at pronouncing. So if I, you know, crush these and make them terrible, I apologize. But it was Professor Masij Henenberg and Halia Kumaratalake. And once again, they're from the Flinders University in Adelaide, Australia. And they're discovering that humans are now being developed with a third artery in our arms, which is crazy because, you know, more blood supply, it helps with our fingers and everything like that. And now today in everyday modern technology, we use our hands for typing and, you know, playing on our phones and all those kind of things constantly. So humans are now actually adapting to become better at using our hands and have more blood flow so that we're better at it. But they've been studying this for a while, and it's been shown that so 10% of people used to have this, I guess, abnormality back in the 1880s compared to now over 30% of the population that is born has this abnormality. So if this continues, by the time, like in 50 years, everyone will have the abnormality of having three arteries in their arm to help blood flow and everything like that. This has also been shown, they've seen it in other parts of human evolution with the fact that there people are being born without wisdom teeth. And this one is near and dear to my heart because my grandma and myself were born. My grandma was born without any wisdom teeth, and I was born without one set of my wisdom teeth. So I guess I am also the next step in human evolution. So boom, baby. But once again, I just think it's crazy. Everything about science and human evolution and how our genomes work, I think it's crazy awesome. So I hope you find it interesting. That's why I keep bringing it up. Let's go to story number two this week, though. Now we're heading over to the movie theater scene, because No Time to Die, the newest James Bond film, was delayed until sometime in 2021. And the reason we're bringing this up is because this delay caused the shutdown of all Regal theaters in the US and in the UK. And this is over 536 US-based theaters and 127 UK-based theaters. And with also Disney coming out this past week, and announcing that they are going to be focusing more on the streaming side of movies and kind of going away from the big theater style movies. That is such a blow to the actual movie theater industry, because it has been shown all the way back to Trolls Worldwide that the movie industry can make their money without ever having to have it in a movie theater, because Trolls Worldwide made buku dollars on streaming services. So I think with the shutdown of all of these theaters, Disney announcing that, you know, they don't care about theaters anymore, they are really just going to focus on the streaming side of movies. Doesn't mean that their movies will, you know, lack any quality or anything of that nature. That just they're not going to, you know, budget them to be shown in widescreen on a theater screen. And that means that I think this is a big sign of just the death of movie theaters as a whole. I don't think that movie theaters in the next 10 years will really exist. I think that they will all, you know, fallen by the wayside. And no one will ever think about going out to the movies. It'll be about, hey, you want to come over and stream this new movie with us and our friends? And it'll be about small group experiences instead of the, you know, huge theater where you're having, you know, hundreds of people in a one theater, which is really, really sad because I love movie theaters. One of my first jobs was working in a movie theater for many, many years. And my now wife makes fun of me all the time, because I bring up that job all the time because of how much I loved it and just how much of an impact it had on me. I saw every movie for the span of 6 years, from the time the first Saw movie came out till the time the sixth Harry Potter movie came out. I feel like I literally saw every single movie that came out in theaters because I worked there and I saw it for free. So the fact that going forward, no one is going to be able to go see a movie in theaters, or no one's going to be able to work in a theater and have that kind of experience where you just get to watch all these wonderful movies for free, which makes you really, really sad. And I don't like it at all. So if your movie theater near you is still open and they're practicing safe practices in this pandemic, please go out and see a movie real quick so that maybe we can save the dying franchise of the movie theaters. Now, though, on that sad note, we're going to move on to our third story, which also isn't very happy at all, because last time I talked to all of you wonderful people out here, I talked about the NFL and how they were doing so wonderful, and they hadn't had a single positive COVID test during week one. Wow, how times have changed. I intended for this podcast, you know, just generally about happy things and everything like that, but the reality of the world is it's a little sad right now. It's a little crazy. So I got to bring up these things, and basically I talked about it last time, so now I definitely have to bring it up, because COVID is wrecking the NFL. It is running rampant over all of these teams. There are players coming out who are saying that, you know, the Players Association doesn't give a damn about us. They just want to get these games played. And I mean, shit, it's nuts. They have already had to cancel games and remove or, you know, restructure the season. Bye weeks have changed, and this story has been covered so many places, I don't really have a, you know, source for it right now. It's just, it's a hell zone out there, and I can't believe that we're not just going to like a 2 week shutdown, because if the NFL would just shut down for, say, 2 weeks right now and just let everything play out and then come back with a better plan, and then we could finish out the season. I feel this ostrich approach they have where, in some ways, yeah, they're doing some stuff, but they're also burying their heads in the sand that we're not going to get to the playoffs in any healthy capacity. And it just sucks, because the NFL right now is one of the, you know, shining lights in the time we are living, where it is something that it reminds us of the old times, if you will. Gosh, it sounds weird to say the old times, but pre-pandemic feels like a very long time ago. So the old times where we were just all together enjoying, you know, things in bars and being together at all times. The NFL reminds us of that, and I don't want it taken away again. And all of these COVID outbreaks across the NFL are really freaking me out. I don't like it one bit. So please, as a fan of sports and as a fan of health and safety, if anybody from the NFL who has any kind of power is listening to this right now, Please, just figure your shit out. Take care of your players. We want the Super Bowl to happen. So, just stop fucking around. Please. And thank you, this concerned NFL fan. But that will wrap up this week's Chatter Shots.
Pew pew! Pew pew pew! Pew pew pew!
For the millions listening here on Visionaries Global Media, and the thousands more listening however you are consuming this podcast, it is now time for this week's Main Chatter!
It is the month of October, and that means we gotta talk about spooky stuff. You all know that I love my horror movies, my, you know, just the kind of scary stuff. I guess horror movies was a little too inclusive. I didn't have enough other side things to say right there. Whatever, it's a terrible opening. But this week, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things in all of horror, and that is zombies. And this week's main chatter is why zombies make the greatest backdrop slash villain for modern day horror movies, comics, TV shows, and basically everything else. So I have loved zombie movies slash the entire genre for a very, very long time, stretching all the way back to high school, where I wrote a 50-page zombie movie script, which had all my friends in it, and I wrote it for a class project. I think I still have it somewhere at my mom's house, which I would love to unearth if I do, but it's probably been thrown away, to be 100% honest. But it was a thing that happened way back when. And I think that my love of zombie movies and the genre in general stretched all the way back to when I was quite young. I saw the original Night of the Living Dead from George A. Romero, which, as much as it is a zombie movie, it is also just a look at how insane the humankind are as a whole. Because, spoiler warning, for a movie that is so old at this point that I don't care, at the end of the movie, the protagonist, the hero, is gunned down by just a group of humans because they think he's a zombie. And also, there are some serious racial overtones in it. Because George A. Romero was one of the finest storytellers of the entire zombie genre, and really redefined it as a whole. By taking the median from just being, ooh, zombies are scary, to zombies have these movies have a point. There's an underlying theme. And this leads me to one of my favorite dualities of a zombie movie, like the genre. Because Dawn of the Dead, which is a great George A. Romero movie, and then was remade by Zack Snyder many moons later, is such a great duality, just how great zombie movies can be. So the original Dawn of the Dead is all about this group of survivors surviving in this mall. And in the original, there is a very, very, very high emphasis on the fact that these people are coming back to the mall because of the consumerism. And that's what George A. Romero was trying to say, is that people are become zombies, and that's why these zombies, though they're lifeless, are still trying to come back to this mall. And then these humans who are together, stuck in this mall, end up, you know, lying to each other and being horrible people until one of their own is turned against them. And, you know, they build a hidden passageway. I am definitely paraphrasing this whole movie. But then they escape in the end into a helicopter. And if you see the director's cut, it was supposed to be very sad at the end. So fast forward many moons later to Zack Snyder seeing this movie and going, you know what I can do with this movie? I can make it into one hell of an action movie that, instead of it being, you know, subtly about the consumerism and everything like that, nah. This movie is about doing some badass shit and killing some zombies in some fucking cool-ass ways. And don't get me wrong, this might be Zack Snyder at his absolute finest, because Zack Snyder absolutely murders everything about what a zombie movie could be. If it's from the zombies being able to run at full speed at all times, to their, I guess, innate ability to be stealthy as well, where they're just way too smart for their own good. But it doesn't matter, because the movie from top to bottom is so well acted and so well shot and so many great parts to it, especially including having Richard Cheeseman's version of Down with the Sickness in there. And that whole, like, what is the term I'm looking for here? It is not a comeback. It's not a monologue. It is a... The entire musical montage is so fantastic and one of my favorite scenes in any movie of all time. And it just shows the great juxtaposition of what you can do with even the same zombie movie. Because the Dawn of the Dead remake, Zack Snyder, takes basically the same plot, where it is a group of survivors caught in a mall and they're trying to survive from here. But instead of it being about the human condition, it's just about violence and killing a whole shit ton of zombies. I mean, at the end of the movie, they have a van that they have outfitted so that they can put a chainsaw out through the side and chop away the zombies as they're going by. It's fucking insane. But it's a great action movie. And it's also a great human experiment. Not human experiment. It's a great look at the human condition movie way back from the early, 70s, I want to say. Maybe the 80s. Should have looked up when Dawn of the Dead came out. I know it was back for a while. But that one right there is just one of my favorite juxtapositions of the same zombie movie showing how much, you know, depth and difference you can have in the same story with zombies by just two different people telling the same story. It's amazing. Zombies movies are great. Next, we're going to talk about zombie video games. And we're going to talk about two of my favorites, which first we're going to talk about Resident Evil. Now, if you don't know about Resident Evil, Resident Evil takes place in the city of Raccoon City, and then over the course of many other places. It's all about the Umbrella Corporation releasing their zombie virus accidentally. The T-virus, the G-virus, the Ouroboros virus, the C-virus, and so many other viruses. Just really, it's a shit show, all right? Umbrella sucks. But over the course of these games, they defined and created an entire new genre of video games, basically, with the survival horror games. With the first Resident Evil game, where you are trying to escape the Spencer Mansion in the mountains, it is one of the most tense video games you will ever play, where A, you don't know where the fuck you're supposed to be going, B, your weapons are cool as hell, but you have no ammo for them at any time, C, there are no healing items, and the few healing items you have, you're like, I'm going to hold on to these because I know that I'm going to be close to death. Because D, and finally, the zombies and zombie dogs and all the other kinds of monsters, including Yawn, the giant fucking snake that comes after you, can appear basically around any corner at any time with no regards for your ability to hold in your urine. Because I will tell you right now, playing the original Resident Evil back in the day, that game was the closest I ever came to being scared enough to pee my pants. When the dogs burst through the windows the first time that happened to me, seriously, I thought I was going to die. And that'll lead me to a quick little side story, because Resident Evil 2, which I am clearly just... Resident Evil is one of my favorite video game franchises that has ever happened in the entire world. Played them all. Love them so much. They're near and dear to my heart. I've replayed them all, including the remasters. But the original Resident Evil 2, way back in the day, I played with one of my good friend Kyle. And he came over to my house, and we played through the entire game in one evening. And my younger brother, Zach, decided he wanted to watch us play the video game. And you have to remember, at this time, I would have probably been, I think, 12 or 13. Maybe even younger. I don't know. I wasn't old. That's for damn sure. So I was pretty young, which means my brother is 5 years younger than me, which means he was in the single-digit ages still. And while playing that video game, there's a portion of the game when you're in an interrogation room and collecting a key, and a licker dives through a window. And when this happened, my brother was watching this, my brother proceeded to run from our downstairs family room all the way up to our bedroom and go to bed because he was so terrified of that moment. And that is one of the beauties of Resident Evil, because Resident Evil as a zombie game evolved the zombies into being not just normal zombies, with it being a viral outbreak this virus change these creatures into even more terrifying and monstrous proportions. So they evolved and refined the option of being a zombie into these terrifying monsters, which to a kid, to adults, to everyone, helped just make zombies even that much cooler. So now we're going to move over to another zombie video game, which is another one that is near and dear to my heart, because I fucking love zombies. And that is the Dead Rising video game series. And the Dead Rising video game series, I feel, is one of Xbox's crowning achievements through Capcom's, like, partnership. Because Dead Rising, it came out for the 360, and then it came out for the Xbox One. And it has always come out right when the console debuts as a, you know what, look at what this console can do, it's fucking cool. And the Dead Rising series is one of my favorites to show how cool zombies can be. Because the zombies, honestly, in the Dead Rising series, they're nothing. They are the simplest zombies out there. They are slow. They are shambling. You can run around them, honestly. You can avoid giant hordes of them just by jumping around. They're not that hard to get around because zombies as a whole, really, if you think about it, shouldn't be able to move that quickly. They're undead corpses, and corpses shouldn't be that coordinated or fast. So thus, the monsters, as you would say, in the Dead Rising series are the humans who are still alive, who have lost their goddamn minds, or the humans who are in the government and are causing these outbreaks. The Dead Rising series isn't as much about the actual zombies you're fighting, or the weapons you're creating, or the killer vehicles with lawnmower blades that are just spinning in front of you and you just maul through a horde of 70 zombies at once. It's not about that. It's about the monsters that humans become when pushed to the absolute edge with nothing to do but to survive and how crazy we might go. From the Dead Rising series, the greatest thing about it is its maniac system, where these humans who are thrust into this terrible situation just absolutely lose their freaking minds and just start killing everything because they know nothing better to do. In the first game, there's a clown who's sad because he doesn't have children to entertain anymore. So he's gone crazy and he has two mini chainsaws and he comes after you with them. In the second game, there's a cook who starts feeding actual humans and zombies to people and zombies because he has no one to cook for. It's so beautiful. The Dead Rising series, all the way up to Dead Rising 3. And Dead Rising 3, their maniac system, all of them were based on the seven deadly sins. And all seven of the maniacs in that game, I'm not going to talk about them right now because though this isn't a PG podcast, the most of the psychopaths in that game, I don't even want to talk about because they push it so far. But it's what the beauty of the Dead Rising game is. And once again, I'm not even talking about the ability to craft these insane weapons and just kill hordes and hordes of zombies just for fun. The Dead Rising zombie games are one of the most underappreciated series that has ever existed. And if you've never played them and you like video games or you like zombies, check them out now. They're on Game Pass and they're almost always on sale on the Xbox. So get on it, folks. We move on to the comics because zombie comics are so many and so amazing that we're just gonna hit on a couple of things here because I need you all to know how amazing the zombie comic book genre is. A lot of you, I'm sure out there, have watched the Walking Dead television series, which, do not get me wrong, is a solid TV show, but it pales in comparison to how amazing the actual comic series is that it is based upon. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of cool things that they have changed and done in the television show, but it is nothing in comparison to how well and how well done and written and composed and drawn the Robert Kirkman Walking Dead series is. Please, everyone out there, go and buy it. It's actually done. You can get it all in graphic novel form at this point and actually read through it. It is one of the greatest tellings of the human story ever. Because once again, zombie stories are not as much about the zombies as they are just about how humans react to extreme situations. And the Walking Dead comic series tells this better than any other story I've ever read in my life. I remember reading the Walking Dead series as it was coming out, and then on to as it closed out. It has been such a large and integral part of my life because I just fucking love zombies. Before Allison and I even started dating, when we were hanging out, she would record The Walking Dead for me on AMC, even though she hated the TV series because it wasn't her thing. We would watch it together. So it also holds a special place in my heart because of that. Not just because I love the actual comic series. And I stopped watching the show because the show got bad. But the actual comic is so damn good that I still will tell people, you know what? Watch the show. It's worth it. Because then maybe you'll read the comics. And those are even more worth it. It's so great. And then we can move to everyone's favorite thing right now, which is the Marvel Universe. Everyone loves the Marvel Cinematic Universe, myself included. Not trying to be a sarcastic dick about anything. I'm just saying, everybody loves it. Well, fun fact, everyone. One of the best parts of the comics of the Marvel Universe is the Marvel Zombies series, where everybody turns into a zombie and shit gets real. I mean, they just deal with some really dark shit, as in Spider-Man eats Mary Jane and eats Aunt May. No joke at all. But eventually it comes down to a bunch of the zombies end up eating Galactus and then get the power cosmic and then they eat the entire universe, because Marvel takes it to an entire grander scheme where what would happen if superheroes got the zombie virus? And guess what? I'm pretty sure they're going to do this in the new Marvel What If series that's going to be on Disney Plus. So if you want to get ahead of the curve, you can check out the comic book series that came out, shit, forever ago. I read that way back in the early 2000s. So you can check that out, and you can be ahead of the curve and be like, oh my god, Marvel Zombies is going to be nuts. Can't wait for that. Let's move on to our final, though, topic on why zombies are so amazing, and they should just be the backdrop and villain in every horror movie. And you know what? They should be the villain in every style of movie, because in this final part, we're going to talk about the fact that zombies can be used in any genre of film. So we're going to talk about some of my favorite movies here. And the first one I'm going to talk about is literally one that if you've ever listened to me on a podcast, if you ever met me in my real life, if you ever see me on Twitter, I talk about it a lot, and it's Shaun of the Dead. And it's how you can infuse a zombie movie into a comedy, into also basically a dramedy, because the movie Shaun of the Dead is one of the funniest and most heartfelt films you will ever watch, that deals with so many different things. Deals with getting dumped, deals with, you know, kind of realizing, you know, maybe I'm not living my best life. It deals with, you know, maybe I should talk to my mom more. Just so many different things, all with zombies there in the background as their ultimate antagonist. And the way they handle the zombies and the way the movie eventually ends up. Come on, folks. If you haven't seen Shaun of the Dead, you're doing yourself a disfavor. So I will tell you right now, stop this podcast. You can start it again later. It's fine. And then go watch Shaun of the Dead. Then come back and you will go, holy shit, Chad, you're right. Shaun of the Dead is one of the funniest comedies slash dramedies of all time. And there's zombies in it. That's impressive as hell. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. Shaun of the Dead is amazing. And zombies make a great comedy. And then we can move to even a different genre, which is musicals. What? Chad, you're saying zombies can be in a musical? Oh, hell yes, I am. Because the movie Anna and the Apocalypse, besides Die Hard, is the greatest Christmas movie of all time, if not the greatest Christmas musical. Because Anna and the Apocalypse deals with a group of high schoolers who are dealing with the apocalypse, and shit gets real, man. And once again, this movie isn't about the fact that these zombies are super dangerous. No, these zombies can be handled by high schoolers, so they can't be that dangerous. You know what the real danger is? their crazy ass teachers and the crazy ass people who are out there who just lose their damn minds because, you know, in extreme situations, people take shit to the extreme. It's nuts. But the music in it is absolutely fantastic. And it's all about Christmas. So Anna and the Apocalypse serves the point of being a wonderful musical and Christmas movie. But it's about zombies. What can't zombies do? I'm telling you, they can do everything. You want a family movie about zombies? Check out the movie Fido, which deals with what if zombies existed and then we have to put them to work because they're just everywhere. And they become, you know, like our family servant. Check out Fido. There you go. And if you want, oh, a zombie love story? What? No one falls in love with zombies? The hell they don't. We have the movie Warm Bodies, which is another just fantastic. It's a graphic novel as well before it was a movie. And the graphic novel, way better than the movie. But the movie's still solid. It's all right. But it just shows you can use zombies in any medium to tell your story in a better way. And why is this, you ask? It's because zombies show us at our most base form. So, zombies are humans if they just were single-minded. They're just only after one thing. Which a lot of people say, that's kind of how we are now. We all are just staring at our phones. We're all so in tune with our own lives, we don't give a damn about the person next to us. A lot of people say, you know, someone behind you could be being attacked. You wouldn't even notice because we're so in tune on watching our phones and everything like that with our headphones in. So we are zombies nowadays. And also zombie movies show the absolute depth of insanity that humans might stoop to in an extreme situation. Because we do know that people are crazy. And the more and more this 2020 keeps going on, the more and more that we see that people are just fucking insane. So it scares the shit out of you. And that's why zombies make the greatest backdrop slash villain for any genre of film. Because not only do they show us at our worst, they also show what we are acting like with our phones and how we just, you know, kind of progress through our lives right now. It's a scary, scary fucking concept, isn't it, folks? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Zombies, scary as hell. And that's why they make the greatest horror villain slash backdrop for any genre of film. But that was this week's Main Chatter. Well, I hope you have enjoyed the return to the depths of my mind. But as we close the lid to this week's Chatterbox, please tune in next week for another episode where I will, you know, reveal my deepest and darkest thoughts and also just how I feel about everything. Who the hell knows? It's October. It's probably going to be another spooky Main Chatter. Because that's what you gotta do in October. But until then, please tune in next week for another opening of the Chatterbox. And until then, keep your eyes and mind open to this amazing and weird world around you.